and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text for this Sunday, the last Sunday of the church year, also called Christ the King Sunday, is from Luke chapter 23. And as you heard earlier, it tells of the crucifixion of our Lord. I guess I would say that it mentions with dripping irony the inscription that was over Jesus' head on the cross, the King of the Jews. I suppose Pontius Pilate meant to mock the people of Judea. This is your king. You know who's really in charge? The Emperor of Rome. In our text today, we also hear some words from Jesus from the cross. We hear Jesus say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." We also hear Jesus speak other words of compassion and assurance from the cross. From the cross, where he's being tortured to death, he speaks words of compassion for us. Compassion even to one who is crucified with him. He says to the criminal, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." And Luke describes what happens between these two utterances of Jesus. Between, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," and "Today you will be with me in paradise." What happens to Jesus in the midst of his crucifixion? He's mocked. He's first mocked by the rulers. Then he's mocked by the soldiers who are crucifying him. He's mocked by Pilate's inscription over his head. And finally, he's even mocked by one of the criminals who are being crucified with him. He's being mocked for who he is, who he claims to be and who he is, the Christ, the Anointed One, the King of the Jews. And he's mocked for doing precisely what he came to do, to go to the cross, to suffer and to die, to atone for the sins of the world, to atone for all the sins of those of us who mock him every day in the way that we live, in our attitudes towards Christ. Whether you're a ruling authority 2,000 years ago, or a soldier who nailed him to the cross, or a common criminal then, or the criminal that lives within each of our own hearts. Well, this last criminal challenges Jesus. He says, "Save yourself and me." He tempts Jesus to take the easy way out. The text says, one of the criminals who were railed at him says, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." Sounds just like the devil's temptations of Jesus, the beginning of his ministry. Take the easy way out. If you're hungry, turn those stones into loaves of bread. Eat. If you are the Christ, save yourself. Come down from that cross. Why are you suffering when you don't need to? And by the way, take me with you. Just snap your fingers. Come down off that cross. And by the way, while you're at it, why don't you inflict some pain and suffering on these guys too? How about these? Start with the Roman soldiers. Why should either of us suffer when we don't have to? And really, that criminal is saying something that the soldiers are saying, that Pilate is saying, that the ruling authorities are saying too. Maybe it sounds familiar. If you are the Christ, prove it to me. Prove it. Do what I say now. And then, then I'll believe in you. Sounds like what the world and the flesh, the temptations of the Satan tell us. When we're desperate and when we're suffering, and yes, in fact, when we're dying, like we all are in this flesh, we just want God to take the pain away. Take it away and take it away now. We want God to do exactly what we want when we want it. And we want to tell Him what to do. And then we even threaten Him. If you don't do this now, I'm not going to believe in you. Quite a threat. Quite a threat to God. Of course, then, if there's something wrong, well, if there's something wrong in my life, it's God's fault, not mine. And that's when the tempter is right next to us saying, that God you say you love, that God you say you believe in, He doesn't even care about you. That's what Satan says. How can He care about you? Why does He leave you in this suffering and pain? Yet Jesus is right there, suffering with us and suffering on the cross. We can't seem to see Him. Well, what does Jesus say to this robber, this criminal, who says, save yourself and us right now? He doesn't say anything to him. Not a word. Jesus has already asked His Heavenly Father to forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's the word that Jesus has spoken already. Yet this one does not believe in Jesus. So he rejects the forgiveness that's being offered right there in front of his eyes. And Jesus does not defend himself. He's silent to all these accusations. But the second robber, he defends Jesus. Verse 40 of our text says, but the other rebuked him, the first criminal, saying, do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing. Basically, he's saying to the first criminal, who are you to criticize? You're as condemned as he is. But that's where the similarity ends, because this man is innocent, and we're not. You and I deserve punishment, but not Jesus. If you think about it, it's pretty amazing. Here is this criminal, this man suffering unimaginable agony. And he speaks up against his own partner in crime on behalf of Jesus. Another man, an innocent man being crucified, who also happens to be the Son of the living God. So here we are at the crucifixion of Jesus in Luke chapter 23. way back in Luke 5, when Jesus was just beginning to call his disciples, including his disciple Matthew, former tax collector, Jesus said this, "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Well, this criminal on the cross, this criminal sinner, gives us a prime example of repentance. He confesses that he has done wrong. He says, "My punishment is just. I deserve it." And in his dying desperation, he does not blame someone else. He does not say, "Oh, I'm a poor victim." He doesn't play the victim. He owns up to his own evil acts and deeds and says, "I'm guilty." That's repentance. And he turns to Jesus. He turns to Jesus. And he fears God. And he recognizes who Jesus is. Jesus is the messianic anointed one, the Christ, the one who is appointed to come and to suffer, the suffering servant who is here to suffer and die for you and me. And this Jesus is the one who saves, the one who comes to give his life for us. So the criminal says, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus says, "Today you will be with me in paradise." The King of the Jews, who saved not himself but others, says, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And with these words, Jesus ushers this dying man into the kingdom of heaven, into God's presence. Now, sometimes this passage about the criminal on the cross is often discussed when someone asks whether baptism is necessary. Clearly, this criminal was at the end of his life, and he wasn't baptized with water. But Romans 6 says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin." Well, this criminal, this repentant criminal, was united with Christ in a death like his. How could you get closer? Right then and there, receiving that baptism of fire, that death that John the Baptist spoke of for Jesus. Yet Jesus invites this man into paradise with me today, saying, "You will be with me today in paradise. Your relationship with God the Father, this is my Father's world. Welcome. You're a son now. Through your baptism on the cross for the criminal, through your baptism by water for you and me. Welcome, son. Welcome, daughter, into the kingdom. Today you will be with me in paradise." To be with God is to be in paradise. To be with your Father is in paradise. And Jesus emphasizes, when he says today, he means today. The blessings of baptism are yours today. The forgiveness that he won for you on the cross, that's yours today. Salvation is yours today. Eternal life is yours today. Today, you and I are confronted by the fact that we, in fact, are dying. Today, you and I are confronted by the fact that Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, the unjust crucifixion of the Son of God, was for our sins. And so today, Jesus offers you forgiveness. Forgiveness for all who would receive it. And what's more, today Jesus offers you comfort. Not comfort that he will immediately take away all your problems, but comfort that you are forgiven. Comfort that he will be with you in the midst of your suffering. Comfort that he will be with you at the end of your earthly life. And comfort that he will be with you in your resurrected life and in paradise while you wait for that. You will be comforted, and it begins today. Today you will be with me in paradise. God grants this to us because of Jesus Christ. Amen.